Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin on this 4th of July holiday with an analysis of the foundation of American democracy, our electoral system that has been under attack by the Russians and is now being attacked by the Trump administration in order to prove an outrageous and unsupported claim by Trump that 5 million illegals voted in the last election, which was why Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million. Andrew Gumbel, an award-winning investigative reporter and author of Down for the Count, Dirty Elections and the Rotten History of Democracy in America, joins us to discuss the bogus commission that Donald Trump has set up, chaired by Vice President Mike Pence and Kris Kobach, the Kansas Secretary of State, who is the country's leading crusader against the imaginary scourge of voter fraud. Needless to say, Trump's commission, which is not looking into the role of the Russian hacking of our election, but is comprised of voter suppression zealots, will be using the specter of voter fraud to deny the votes of minorities who vote Democratic, as has already happened in Kobach's Kansas. We'll also look into why the majority of the nation's secretaries of states have rejected the commission's demand for personal data on voters' voting habits, partial social security numbers, and other personal data, which will be housed on an unsecured website. Then we'll examine further Trump's partisan electoral purge and the abuse of the power of the presidency, where the delusions of an insecure narcissist still obsessed with his loss in the popular vote, who championed an earlier witch hunt against Obama based on the lie that Obama did not have a birth certificate, is now commissioning a wild goose chase that could end up as a cover for voter suppression. Michael Lewis Beck, a distinguished professor of political science at the University of Iowa, whose interests include comparative elections, election forecasting, political economy, and quantitative methodology, joins us to investigate the lack of a strategy to counter the Trump disaster on the part of Democrats, too many of whom are invested in the notion that Trump will be impeached. We will discuss the lack of an alternative narrative of what the Democrats would replace Trump with in terms of a vision of a better America for all and leadership that could heal the country's divisions and bring America back to greatness. And joining us on this 4th of July holiday is Andrew Gumbel, an award-winning investigative reporter, a political columnist, and a foreign correspondent for The Guardian, The Independent, The Los Angeles Times, The Nation, and The Atlantic. He's the author of several books, including Oklahoma City, What the Investigation Missed and Why It Still Matters. And his latest book is Down for the Count, Dirty Elections and the Rotten History of Democracy in America. Welcome to Background Briefing, Andrew Gumbel.
Thank you so much.
And it seems that obviously elections are at the heart of democracy, and democracy is at the heart of the 4th of July celebration. But we have an extraordinary situation now where you have a president who has all kinds of peculiar obsessions with the press and with his own ego, and insists that 5 million illegals or mythical people of some sort, un-Americans, non-Americans, whatever, voted in this election, and that's why Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million. So he has formed this electoral commission headed by a zealot, a voter suppression zealot. And meanwhile, in the real world, we do have a problem, Houston. We have a problem, which is that the Russians hacked into the last election, and according to the latest leak from an NSA contractor via The Intercept, they are preparing to infiltrate, I think, about half of the electoral systems in the country. So this will be a great opportunity to fix our broken electoral system, but instead, Trump is sending the country on this wild goose chase.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that there are a number of sort of things, just to sort of take one step at a time to sort of make sense of what's going on. You know, first of all, there have been many presidential commissions in the past looking at the voting system. They have always been bipartisan commissions. This one doesn't even pretend to be bipartisan. You have Mike Pence as the nominal chair. You have Kris Kobach, the zealot you referred to earlier, the Kansas Secretary of State, who is the vice chair and essentially driving the process as far as we can see. And then you have pretty much, you know, the cast of characters of everybody who's been pointed to as somebody advocating voter suppression in one form or another over the last 20 years has found their way onto this commission. Beyond Kobach, there's also Hans van Spakovsky, a Georgia lawyer, who first came to prominence by promoting the idea of a purged list to get rid of, you know, felons, illegals, and others off the voter rolls. And this was instituted in Florida ahead of the 2000 presidential election and almost certainly disenfranchised a very large number of African-American voters. When one county did an audit of the purge list, they found that 95% of the names on it should not have been there. These were legitimate voters who should not have been purged. So, you know, the people involved in this initiative have a very shoddy history, a startling history, really. Kobach himself in Kansas has got himself into legal trouble. He attempted to separate out rules for federal elections versus state elections because he wanted to introduce draconian measures for proving people's citizenship. He's also introduced a proprietary piece of software that was initiated in Kansas called CrossCheck, the idea of which is to make sure that people aren't voting twice in different states. However, studies have shown that for every genuine example of somebody voting twice in different states, there are 200 instances of people who've been falsely identified as having done so. And by the way, being registered in two different states is not illegal. Only voting in two different states in the same election is illegal. So, you know, these people are not coming at it in a dispassionate way. They're coming at it with a purpose, with an ideological aim. And the other thing that's worth pointing out in terms of background is that, you know, this is not a new thing in American history, that you have what sounds like, you know, a reasonable task. Calling something the Advisory Commission on Election Integrity sounds all well and good, but it's really Orwellian doublespeak. It's actually meant to do the opposite of what it sets out to do. Same thing happened at the end of the 19th century when, you know, in the name of voter integrity, common sense measures against fraud, African Americans in the South and a lot of poor whites were just systematically disenfranchised through a series of election reforms. And we're in danger of having the same thing happen here. Fortunately, people are onto it. And also, fortunately, I would say, the commission, at least so far, has not demonstrated a great deal of strategic savvy in how it goes about what it's doing. Last week, Mr. Kobach sent out a letter to all 50 states demanding an awful lot of information about voters, their names, their middle initials, their social security numbers, their criminal histories, their voting preferences, their party affiliation, a lot of information that, you know, if you ask people who are experts on trying to figure out how to improve the accuracy of voter rolls would tell you this is a very bizarre way of going about it, unless your purpose is to try and make matches that are designed to kick people off those voter rolls, which is the great suspicion here. Kobach's letter, however, was so broad that it caused almost half the states either partially or completely to tell him to take a running jump. And in fact, in the case of Mississippi, which is hardly a liberal bastion, the Republican Secretary of State there literally told him to go take a jump into the Gulf of Mexico. So this has not been a successful initiative so far. However, the danger remains. The full power and prestige of the White House is behind this effort. And we'll see going forward what kinds of pressures can be applied back to try and stop Kobach and his cohorts from doing their worst.
Well, the point that you just made, Andrew, I guess obliquely, is that elections matter. They have consequences. This president, in spite of the fact that this is a trumped-up piece of nonsense based upon his own personal peculiarities about his ego, and it's like the whole thing about the day after the election when his press secretary had to come out and say that there were more people at the Trump inauguration than they were at the Obama inauguration, when indeed the evidence was to the contrary. Then he spoke at the CIA about it, and he's still obsessed with it. And that's why we have this commission, to prove the unprovable. But nevertheless, it's going ahead. It just shows you that presidents have power. Isn't that the lesson to be learned here?
That's true, but it's interesting that some of the structural weaknesses of the American electoral system may now turn out to be hidden strengths, in the sense that, you know, we have a highly devolved electoral system where states primarily, and in some cases local jurisdictions, make the key decisions. And that has been very bad for the country in many ways, because it means there's no oversight, there are no standards, there's no uniformity in how things are done, which is how it works in other countries, which means that, you know, historically there have been parts of the country where elections are very well administered, and then there are parts of the country like Florida, for example, where historically elections have been highly dubious in many instances. And over the last 10, 15 years, where we've seen the Republican takeover of state legislatures, we have seen a number of those legislatures pass, you know, laws that seem designed to restrict ballot access, the introduction of voter ID laws, you know, restricting early voting, and so on and so forth, all of which seem to be done for partisan advantage rather than in the interests of American democracy. And you know, this free-for-all is on the one hand given Trump the opportunity to push it further, and it seems that the goal here is to take, you know, what began with state-by-state voter ID laws and take it to a whole new level of systematically disenfranchising people who look likely to vote for someone other than Donald Trump or the Republicans. But on the other hand, it exposes this interesting opposition in American politics between the states and the federal government. And that's, I think, why you see a state like Mississippi, which certainly, you know, is Republican to the core, pushing back and saying this is a states' rights thing. We run our own elections, thank you very much. And, of course, Mississippi does not have a stellar record of running fair elections over its history. It was probably one of the worst segregationist states when it came to voting rights during the Jim Crow era. But, you know, you see that states' rights impulse kicking right in. You see in a state like Ohio, which historically has run pretty good elections over the last 10, 15 years, it's been heavily tainted by bipartisan problems as well. But you see the Secretary of State there, John Husted, a Republican, somebody who's been in the crosshairs of voting rights experts for things he's done wrong, pushing back and telling the White House, you know what, we run perfectly good elections here. Thank you very much. We don't need you to interfere and tell us what to do. To get back to your first point, you know, there are many ways in which the system could be improved. It's been studied a lot. It wouldn't be that hard to do if the will was there. Needless to say, it does not involve obsessing about individual voter fraud, and certainly not voter fraud on the kind of scale that Trump and co. are talking about in the millions. But there is an issue with having the registration system run more smoothly. The Brennan Center for Justice, for example, has come up with a lot of good suggestions where you would essentially make automatic voter registration the norm across the country. It exists in Oregon. It's coming in California. But if you made that the norm across the country and then had a system whereby the registration information is tracked by the voter rather than by the state, so if on election day you vote, let's say, in California, but you're also registered in New York, the system would automatically register that you have voted in place X. And if you tried to vote in another place, it would actually stop you from doing so. You know, this kind of common sense approach to make sure that you try and get rid of the names on the voter rolls that are no longer valid because people are dead or they've moved away or whatever it is, and at the same time make sure that anybody who wants to vote can. You know, this is not rocket science. This is a doable thing. Countries do it around the world, and the United States could easily do it. Instead of which, you know, we have sadly a situation that's been going on, you know, in its more exacerbated form, you know, since the 2000 election, I would argue, but in one form or another, really since the founding of the country, where what should be a dispassionately run system for the benefit of democracy and the interests of the American people has been tainted by politicization. And Trump did not start this, but he's both pushing it to a new level and, I would argue, turning it into something of a farce. And we don't know if that farcical element is going to be the saving grace because everybody's going to be able to see through it, or if it's actually going to make things a whole lot worse. We're at a very dangerous point at this moment.
Well, in terms of farce, there's nothing more farcical than the idea that these people, Kovach and Pence, are asking for extremely private information like your social security numbers, etc., and they're developing a huge database. And your voting record, for example, is also a part of their requests. But their requests go to an unsecured website. They've already set up this unsecured website. I mean, isn't that absurd, the idea that they're worried about, maybe they're not worried about people hacking into the election rolls, but the idea that all of this is being, this extremely personal data is being gathered and posted on an unsecured website is surreal.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, it goes again to the fact that this is, you know, in many ways this is amateur hour. They haven't thought this through in the most basic of ways. And there's no better example of how they haven't thought this through than the fact that one of the states that's pushed back against a request and say it's not actually in compliance with state law is Kansas, where Kris Kobach is still the Secretary of State. So he told his own He, in response to his own letter, he has said, we can't do this, at least to the extent that we can't provide Social Security numbers, not even partial ones, because that's not in compliance with Kansas law. And a number of other states that, you know, might otherwise be sympathetic to the idea of purging, you know, essentially Democrats from the voter rolls in as large numbers as possible, have also pushed back on the grounds of, you know, issues in state law. So they haven't thought of that. They haven't thought of computer security. And, you know, it may be that they don't care about the security of the information, as you say, or it may be that they just haven't thought about it. But it's certainly going to be a concern for the states that are being asked to provide this information. You know, the other question is, what are they going to end up with if, you know, only a fraction of the states, let's say a third, provide, you know, information along the lines that they're suggesting? It's not clear what they can really do with that information. Are they going to do a kind of a national version of CrossCheck? Well, CrossCheck already has 30 states involved, so it's not clear they can really expand significantly beyond that. Are they going to do some kind of nationwide voter purge along the lines we saw in Florida ahead of the 2000 election? I think we're going to see a lot of legal challenges to that. I think, you know, again, people are aware that this is not an honest effort. And so, you know, it's not clear what they can do with that. And if the, you know, the vast majority of the suspected votes, you know, if you take Trump seriously for a moment, which we shouldn't, the vast majority of illegal votes, quote unquote, in the election came from California. California has said point blank, we're not handing you the information. So, you know, what are you going to do with that? You know, what votes are you going to be able to suppress? It's not clear they're going to be able to do an awful lot. Having said that, you know, the very fact that they're doing this with the prestige of the White House, you know, further politicizes the process. It taints the whole concept of how elections are run in this country, and it makes it harder and harder to imagine a system that's going to become fairer and more transparent as opposed to the opposite. And, you know, that's something that's of grave concern to anybody who cares about voting rights in this country.
Well, if a third comply, assuming that the third that comply with Kovach and Pence are these sort of stalwart red states with very partisan Republican secretaries of state, that would be my guess. What are they going to do with this information? I mean, would they basically, the object would be to secure the Republican majority ad infinitum into the distant future. Because as far as I can tell, what Kovach is really trying to do on a national scale here is what he's already done in Kansas. And that's where I think we should be really alarmed. What he's already done in Kansas is required, in order to register to vote, you have to show a passport and a birth certificate. And I defy our listeners to, you know, I imagine that most of our listeners couldn't find their birth certificate if they had to. And a lot of them don't have passports. And we already know from data that there's been a huge drop-off in registration in the state of Kansas. I think 1 in 7 have been purged or haven't shown up with the adequate ID. So if you extrapolate that 1 in 7 nationwide, that's an awful lot of people that would be disenfranchised by Kovach and Pence.
Right. And again, you know, we don't know what his goal is. You know, all he said on the record so far in a couple of interviews, one with NPR, one with the Kansas City Star, is this is about weeding out fraud and weeding out, you know, illegitimate voters, which is consistent with the suspicion of what he's up to. So, you know, I think we should give him the benefit of the doubt to the extent that we don't know exactly what the plan is. And by benefit of the doubt, I just mean simply we shouldn't assert as fact something that we have to wait and see exactly what's going to happen. The other point, I think, is, you know, I don't know how much of that, you know, even if that was his agenda, as you laid it out, how much he could get away with between legal challenges, between states not cooperating, and even, you know, some certain Republican states objecting to the idea of the federal government laying down the law. You know, they've resisted that for a long time. You know, people like me have advocated for a long time saying, you know, we should actually have more federal control of elections, you know, to set standards, to buy up voting machines en masse from reliable sources, to safeguard cybersecurity, and so on and so forth, you know, which are all the real issues. And that has always seemed politically very tough because the states don't want the federal government to be in charge. And I think, you know, in Republican-run states, on the one hand, they probably have some kind of party allegiance and they have some sympathy to the project of making it easier for Republicans to win elections. On the other hand, they do not like being told what to do by the federal government. They certainly don't like being told that their elections are riddled with errors when their job is to run those elections. You know, as we've seen, a number of Republican secretaries of state have came out after November and again now, saying, excuse me, but we run perfectly fine elections and there was no mass voter fraud. So, you know, have these contradictory impulses and political agendas that will play out, and we'll just have to see what happens, you know, which way it goes. And again, you know, just to reiterate my point, I think this is a very dangerous moment, but there's also, we don't know whether things are going to go the way Kobach and Pence want, or if there's going to be pushback that's effective. And, you know, we also don't know what the courts are going to do, and we don't know exactly what the Supreme Court's composition is going to be like on these kinds of questions now that we have Neil Gorsuch on board. Whether they can muster 5 votes to endorse this kind of voter suppression, or whether they can't. We just have to wait and see.
Well, just in closing, we know that President Obama, in fact, Trump himself is accusing Obama of being responsible for not doing anything about the Russian hacking, and that Obama, when the intelligence services told him that the Russians were hacking and the intelligence people had somebody inside Putin's inner circle that were able to tell them that it was being directed by Putin. And Obama had a dilemma of going public. Obviously, they thought Hillary was going to win, and that may be why they didn't say anything. But he was worried about getting... He tried to get a bipartisan statement, and Mitch McConnell wouldn't go along with it. But apparently, he also was concerned that if he called out Putin before the elections, then Putin could double down and hack the elections and cause chaos. So the fact that a foreign power could hack our elections ought to be a red flag that's got every American on this patriotic holiday thinking, well, God, you know, if anybody around the world can hack our elections, then we ought to do something about it.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, one thing that has been a concern in the abstract for a long time is that voting machines, and in particular some of the electronic voting machines that were introduced after the 2000 election, are badly designed, badly programmed, you know, vulnerable to all kinds of risks. And, you know, there have been documented instances where computer scientists have managed to break into these systems and have warned, you know, others could do so easily. You also have still in about 10% of the country electronic machines that produce no independently verifiable paper trail. So if there's a hack, there's no way of being sure that it's happened. You know, these are serious problems that need addressing. It would take money. It would take federal money because a lot of these states don't have the funds necessary to replace their machines. It would take some kind of national commission to determine what is it. You know, having made the mistake last time of buying machines that were not safe, we need to do it properly this time. So you'd need to have, you know, proper guidance, proper standards. All these things are things that, you know, in an ideal world would now be undertaken by the federal government in response to what happened in the 2016 election. We're seeing absolutely none of it from the Trump White House, and we're seeing actually the opposite. You know, we're seeing indications that voter data is going to become less secure. We're seeing indications that there is, you know, an aggressive lack of interest in solving the problems that actually exist. Instead, you know, a very concerted effort to go after, you know, bogus problems that play into a partisan agenda. So it is both, you know, undermining democracy, it is hyper-partisanship, and it's also the height of irresponsibility in terms of running a country.
Well, Andrew Gumbel, I thank you for joining us on this 4th of July holiday.
You're very welcome.
And again, I've been speaking with Andrew Gumbel, who's an award-winning investigative reporter, a political columnist, and a foreign correspondent for The Guardian, The Independent, Los Angeles Times, The Nation, and The Atlantic. He's the author of several books, including Oklahoma City, What the Investigation Missed and Why It Still Matters. And his latest book is Down for the Count, Dirty Elections and the Rotten History of Democracy in America. We're going to take a brief station break and back examining further Trump's partisan electoral purge and the abuse of power of this president.